Welcome to our Giving Tuesday special episode of the Financial Operating Base, where we speak with Mike and Samantha Gomolka on their volunteer efforts with Giving Tuesday Military and Project 33.
Welcome to the Financial Operating Base, a podcast and community to help you, the veteran entrepreneur, to navigate the terrain and accomplish your mission of business success. And joining us today, we have Mike and Samantha Gomolka. Guys, welcome and thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
And Samantha, this is actually your third time with us, so welcome back. And Mike, glad to have you on too. You guys are a tremendous team. So let's just start with sort of the background for those that haven't heard the previous episodes. Tell us about your story together. What you've been working on, both military, nonprofit, and some of the things that you're working on now.
Thanks for having us on. It's an honor, especially former military guys. It's great to have you guys in this community. As far as what we did this year, a couple of years ago we started Project 33, as you guys know, and it's kind of blossomed from there. This year we're doing Master Sergeant Nick Shepherdy. So it's getting a lot of growth. Obviously, because of COVID-19, it went from a virtual run instead of a physical run. So as this growth has been going on, we're adapting to that. As you guys are aware, in between that, we had COVID hit our family as well. So we were dealing with organizing this run. Samantha's got several of her other organizations that she's going to talk about. But it's been a challenge, but it's been an amazing achievement as we go forward. The community has supported us wholeheartedly because they know we're kind of, we can't run, but they know that the event is still really, really, really special. So they're trying to, make sure we don't lose any latitude and we gain momentum and keep moving to represent the fallen that we're doing this year. So it's been amazing so far. And as you guys know, we're not changing anything for Memorial Day. That obviously is significant for us because we wanted it more than just, pizza and beer and things like that. We wanted people to learn about the fallen as January 1st hits, we release who we're going to select as far as who we're going to run for. And then the idea behind it is that people that are going to, participate in the run would start to learn and build a relationship with the fallen soldier. So by the time Memorial Day comes, they have basically a personal relationship with the deceased. So we've seen a lot of positive feedback and growth from that, especially since we still have active duty military soldiers on the board and members that do run with the flags on Memorial Day. It really grabs to the community because they want to be attached to the military greatly. But they don't really, because they're not enlisted or assigned to a military unit, this is their one way to feel like they're still part of the military, as far as getting that connection between service member and civilian. And it really plays out to the veterans that haven't been doing any military activity for 20 to 30 years. We had one guy talk to us about it. We threw him in the run and he said he basically had flashbacks of being with his unit, running with his unit. He said that it was a really emotional moment that overcame them. And I get more and more comments about people saying, thank you for doing Memorial Day because it just got lost at the end of the day. And me being connected to special operations, as you guys know, being in Ranger Regiment and that, a lot of people don't know our story. They will never, so it really a responsibility is placed on us to make sure that, the fallen's memories stay alive, So reaching out to that family, getting their blessing, and then representing their soldier per year and telling their story and the great sacrifice that they did for this country cannot be understated. And people want that. And that's why we're heading in that direction. And we love it. We're really passionate about it.
Yeah, it's great. And just the impact it has both on the family of those that you're honoring and the community, like you talked about. Briefly tell us about your time in the Army. And then what was the inspiration and process to actually start that nonprofit?
Yeah, so I joined before the war, August 2000. And as some of your listeners are from regiment know, that's not a good time. Peacetime regiment is not a good place to be. But yeah, 9/11 happened, and Third Ranger Bat was just really, really busy. I did 5 deployments in 4 years. I mean, it was a lot. So I moved on. I went to SF, deployed to Afghanistan and Africa and throughout the theater multiple times, and then eventually became a warrant officer. During my journey through the military, you know, obviously the memorial wall gets bigger because the war's been going on for quite some time now. And it just happened, you know, a couple of years ago. I was ready. I think I was like, I think this is time for us to start talking about some of these guys that passed away, especially in the beginning. Like in 2001, my squad lost Special Stone Cipher and John Edmonds during the invasion, and nobody even knew about it. Nobody even knew about it. I mean, obviously the military knew about it, but like it was, people were just like, wow, that really happened. He passed away in Pakistan. So it's just like those stories are out there. And I encourage guys that were there to tell those stories. And, one day I was at the dinner table and I was just like, right before Memorial Day, I was like, I'm going to run in body armor from the beach to the brewery this year and carry a flag for Chris Stonecipher. And my wife was sitting next to me. She said, I think that idea is amazing, but you can't keep that to yourself. People are going to want to be part of that. So that's when we started like really getting the feelers out and, start developing Project 3-3. Project 3-3, I came up with that largely because I was in 3rd Ranger Battalion and my Special Forces Detachment has a 3 in it. So kind of like join those together. That's been my whole career. 20 years I've been either in 3rd Ranger Battalion or SF. I never done any conventional time. So that was basically where I came up with the name of convention. And I mean, it's been pretty much awesome the whole way through. I mean, my wife's been a huge supporter of that. And then of course her getting those awards and stuff has really highlighted our project and our program. And, you know, we now have the ability to talk to folks like you guys and getting the word out. So it's been great.
And as we mentioned, you guys do several amazing things for the military and veterans community. We originally had Samantha as a guest on the show back in November as part of Giving Tuesday Military. And I guess with what's gone on with COVID and some other things, Samantha, can you tell us the day the show airs will be Tuesday and it'll be Giving Tuesday again. Describe why there's a Giving Tuesday in May now and you know, what do you hope the impact to be on your participation in it?
The day that airs will be Tuesday. So Giving Tuesday Now was an emergency session called by Giving Tuesday headquarters that we were very excited to participate in with Giving Tuesday Military. Coming off of December 3rd, 2019, which was really the inaugural year of Giving Tuesday Military, our pie in the sky goal was 1 million acts of kindness. And putting a campaign together within 12 weeks with 3 military spouses and really with nothing else but grit and determination and not taking no, we ended up achieving 2.5 million acts of kindness that day, which is just incredible and mind-blowing. And after that day, we all kind of looked at each other and we said, what's next? What now? How do we make this something bigger, something that can perpetuate 52 weeks out of the year? And one of our followers had offered up the hashtag Giving Always, which I really think speaks volumes. So Giving Tuesday Now is Tuesday, May 5th, and we are just encouraging people to spread those intentional acts of kindness, getting into the community, being really the front line of what's needed now. And I think that with the social isolation and coming out of quarantine, people are really craving that. Something really exciting that actually happened only about 2 hours ago was that we announced our partnership with Team Rubicon. So Team Rubicon has, I'm so, they kept me out of the talks initially because I'm such a fangirl. I think my enthusiasm might've driven them away. They have an excellent campaign, which is Neighbors Helping Neighbors. So it's a program set up. They're looking for our participants to register, and they have ways of answering phones from home or helping those elderly neighbors, just really getting involved, which I think is a natural fit for Giving Tuesday Military.
That's incredible. And just the impact already on such a short time. I'm sure you mentioned this before, but I didn't realize that you put that together in 12 weeks last year.
Yeah, the idea for the campaign was actually launched the first week of September. We were at a meeting in Kansas when they had the conference call with Giving Tuesday headquarters. And we knew it was a short time period, but, you know, literally rallied the troops and put it together in 3 months.
Samantha, tell us a little bit about your background, because Mike mentioned that you were really supportive and helped encourage him to make Project 33 kind of bigger than his own thing, and then into the Armed Forces Spouse of the Year Awards, and just the progression that led up to, you know, these projects.
Yeah, I'm a physician assistant. So we moved home to Buffalo, and I had some, you know, great positions initially in GI and now in dermatology. But I think our passion has been one of service. And I think that that's something that a lot of military families have ingrained in them. You know, we give our most precious loved ones to the world. So that's just part of who we are. So Project 33, that's entirely a passion project. We live the mission. The soldiers that we've honored have been entirely close to our heart. You know, I hadn't ever had the honor of meeting Chris Stonecipher, but he's part of our, Mike, would you agree, part of our daily lives. You know, Easter dinner, we drank from wine goblets that were Chris's. We have a quilt from Chris's mother in our den. They're just so special to us. So every year, every campaign that we have is near and dear to us. Through the work with Project 33, I was honored last year with being awarded the 2019 Armed Forces Insurance National Guard Spouse of the Year. And that platform just elevated me to a different position where I was able to make friendships with Maria Reed and Jessica Manfrey and the other military spouses to allow us to get into this arena and just really get into action and do good.
And your efforts are certainly being recognized, not only with the award from Armed Forces Insurance, but I was on Facebook this morning and I saw the two of you on the cover of Reserve and National Guard magazine. Why don't you tell us a little bit how that came about and what's the essence of the story for the folks that are listening?
So Reserve and National Guard magazine has been such a wonderful ally in this, and to have them walk alongside us and really be committed to sharing the mission of Project 33 has been incredible. So Bianca reached out to us. She wanted to know more about our campaign this year. If Mike and I were really willing to share our story and to be highlighted in the May issue, which May is such a big month for us. And going back to Mike's statement, you know, Memorial Day, when we see so many big events being moved or canceled or shifted to the fall, our board was truly dedicated to keeping it on Memorial Day. We weren't willing to switch that date, even though the run will look different, because that day is so special. So being highlighted, I think that it's just increasing awareness, which we're so grateful for, so that people can participate, can run for those that we're honoring. This year we're running for Nick.
That's incredible. And if the story wasn't amazing enough already, we're in the middle of this pandemic. And then so you both, and together and as a family even, actually had to go through, fight, and overcome COVID-19, which is incredible. So tell us about that. You know, as much as you'd like to share about that experience, specifically and especially how you fought through it.
So I've been seeing patients, and, you know, the world was a different place even a month ago. So 6 weeks ago, we were advised to just use good hand hygiene, thorough hand washing in between patients. Face masks really weren't part of the equation yet. So my symptoms didn't start like the typical fever, cough, shortness of breath. Mine actually started with a headache, which led into a dry cough. And then several days later with the fever, the chills, the body aches. At that time, I had contacted my primary care physician who contacted the health department. And because I was low risk, I didn't have any other comorbidities, I wasn't eligible to get tested at that time. So they told me to self-quarantine for 14 days and really just monitor my symptoms closely. Several days after that, right around day 7, I started to have this acute shortness of breath. Walking from the spare bedroom to our kitchen or bathroom became very challenging. And honestly, something we haven't shared yet, but I really reflect on, Mike got home from a deployment in February and the bathroom was leaking upstairs. So after he got home, we started to demo the bathroom in our house, which left us without one. So during this COVID experience, we have been walking down a hill to our spare bathroom, which is in a warehouse on the property. So the COVID, the shortness of breath, I think, was multiplied by the fact that we were literally using an outhouse during this time. I ended up in the emergency room. That's where I received imaging, a chest CT, chest x-ray lab work, and I had my COVID test, which did come back positive. Mike was symptomatic at that time. The option was given if I wanted to stay and be observed for a couple of days on oxygen or if I felt that I was able to go home. And I chose to go home because he was wrangling all the children by himself. So we tag teamed it together.
Mike, and then how about you?
Mine wasn't as bad. I got to be honest with you guys. It was definitely, so I got home from deployment, like she was saying, and then wham, we got hit there. And then before you know it, we're like 6 weeks into not leaving the house and I've got kids everywhere. So the big thing I suffered with is I initially got hit with a fever, but after that, it was hard to breathe at nighttime for sure. It was like, an elephant was always on my chest. And the worst part about it, and I know some people say this, is there was no taste or smell at all for 14 days. Drove me insane. So we were having people bring, and like we were talking about the community outreach and how people really care and they're just going above and beyond. People were bringing us probably the most amazing food in the world. And at some points I could not even taste it to tell them it was amazing. So it was just tough for that part. But for the most part, what I didn't get it as bad as she did. I don't know why, it just wasn't as rough, but it's all good. It's all gone now. So
where we were following along on social media and staying in touch with Samantha. So we had heard some of this. I'm really happy that you mentioned that there was such great community outreach for you guys, for all you give to the community. And when we see other people that are very generous in their community, it's great to know that that gets reciprocated when you're going through your own crisis. Is there anybody in the community you want to give a shout out to that, has been great, that's helped you and your family over the last couple of weeks?
Well, I think the outreach was amazing. Just kind of circling back, after Giving Tuesday Military, we knew that we were missing a piece. So that's where Inspire Up Foundation was created. And we brought on a good friend and fellow Coast Guard spouse, Stacy Billidoux. So the four of us giving, Jessica, Manfrey, and Marie Reed, and myself, the Giving Tuesday Military Corps, expanded to include Stacy, the four of us founded Inspire Up. Now, our mission statement for that is to bridge military and civilian communities through acts of service and intentional kindness. And being on the receiving end of that was so incredible. The Green Beret Foundation was one of the first organizations to step up and send aid and really reach out to us to ask, what can we help with? What more you can do? We had military families from literally, Mike, all over the country, Texas, Illinois, Arkansas, Virginia, Pennsylvania, sending food deliveries, activities for our children, just any way, gift cards, any way to really support us. And then our civilian, our friends and family, we were in quarantine mandated by our local sheriff's office. They served us with official quarantine papers that we could not leave the perimeter of our property for 14 days. So having my parents' grocery shop, having our friends drop off food, really kept us going for that time period.
Hey guys, can I add one thing?
Sure.
Hey, so in your guys' line of work, we always talk about a gym environment as far as like, you know, nesting everything together to throw it against a problem, you know, as far as military goes. I mean, that's exactly what we had. Like, we literally had a gym environment, a joint interoperability environment where we had like friends, military families come together. We had 501c3 programs that jumped onto this and said, hey, let's take care of the Gomulkas. I mean, from all walks of life, everybody did everything they possibly could to make our lives better and you know, deal with COVID the best we could. I mean, it was just unreal. We had food on our porch constantly. And like she was saying, it wasn't, yes, definitely military, but it was like the whole village of Hamburg woke up and were like, let's take care of these guys and fix and make things comfortable for them. So huge, definitely huge impact there.
That's great. And I'm glad to hear that. How did you get through just the emotional challenges of that? Because at this point, with much of the country sheltered in place and, you know, people are talking about stir crazy and mental and emotional health of being locked in. Well, you guys were literally locked in, you know, for 14 straight days without being able to walk off the premises. So how did you deal with the mental and emotional stress associated with that, especially the fact that it was COVID-19.
I think initially I was stuck in this place between fear and disbelief. You know, for several weeks we were watching the news and kind of watching it spread from China across Europe, you know, starting into New York City and the state of Washington. So to know that something that was such a on a global basis had entered into our home, that took a little bit for me to digest. And also the fear of the unknown, how were we going to handle it? But I think, you know, and Mike, you can comment on it too, is that we were very intentional about focusing on joy and finding the beauty within the day and just creating moments for our children, so that the takeaway is not that this was a time of fear for them, but a time that we got to spend together. You know, Mike's op tempo has been pretty insane the past couple of years. So this is the longest that we've had him home in a while. And we just considered those stolen moments. So we had a Saturday where we sat in our laundry room on the floor and we had chips and dip and we just went around in a circle saying our favorite moments of the day and taking walks on our property and spending a morning doing arts and crafts and making rainbows for our windows, or, you know, using chalk art for our driveway to just, you know, spread positivity. We were leaving positive messages for people who were bringing us food. I think just changing the dialogue and the script and being intentional about it helped to change our mental focus as well.
I think just that insight is going to be really helpful for people, you know, even if they're not battling the virus and the disease, but, you know, just the shelter in place environment that much of the country is currently in, hopefully we'll move out of soon. Samantha, tell us a little bit more about the new organization that you have, the new foundation. Tell us more about that and where that's going.
So Inspire Up is the umbrella organization to house our different initiatives. One of them is Giving Tuesday Military. We've also launched a campaign, Love Mill Kids, which through donations of used military uniforms, we have created stuffed hearts to send to military children. And the donation, some of these stories, people wrote the story behind the uniform. So this uniform was worn in this battle in Vietnam, or this just really gives insight. Since COVID, we've actually expanded that program to Hearts for Heroes. So our, you know, grocery store workers, our healthcare workers, delivery men, mailmen, really the people that are working on the front lines, there is a program now that we can show our appreciation, gratitude.
You guys are just an incredibly inspirational family, and we appreciate that beyond everything else you already do in your chosen professions. And I'm sure many of the people listening want to support you guys too. Tell us how people get involved with Giving Tuesday Military, website, contact, what they can do. And then tell us if Project 3-3 is going to be virtual, can people all around the country participate in it this year? And if so, tell us how they can get involved in that.
Mike, you want to talk about Project
3-3? Sure. So if people are very interested in looking into Project 3-3, we have a website. You just Google Project 3-3 Memorial Foundation, and you know, you'll see on the main page, it'll have the information that people are seeking. Yes, absolutely. We encourage people. They don't have to be in Hamburg, New York to run. We want them to be globally. We've created an ambassador form there, so people can actually, from a grassroots perspective, wherever they're located, kind of create like a run club, if you, for lack of better words, for the Memorial Day race, and then have that key individual talk about, you know, Nick, and kind of be like our liaison to that group of people. So absolutely do not have to be in New York to run. The goal is to tell the world about Nick Shepherdy. So it's definitely not just, you know, a physical run located in New York. We want it to be virtual. As far as, you know, you got to, adhere to the CDC and state government regulations as far as dealing with COVID, you know, if that means like separate by 30 feet if you're running or whatever. But no, everybody can sign up on that website. All the information is there. If you go to the main website, it'll take you, you can click on the race website, register for the race, and we'll hit you up with a t-shirt as soon as you put your size in there. And yeah, and please post pictures as you guys are training up for this. Make it great, because again, this is one of our guys, one of our family members, a free fall guy, a Marine Corps Purple Heart guy. I mean, he's done a lot for this country. So let's tell the world about him. And same as next year, let's get these guys out there. You know, the worst thing we could do is inaction when it comes to these fallen guys. Like, if we don't do enough or tell their stories, because you know their lives are cut short. So I feel like it's up to us to keep that going.
Love it.
Also, this, you know, we're trying to keep the main thing. So this doesn't have to be a 6.8 mile run this year. This is you intentionally putting on your sneakers to go run for a hero. And it can be up and down your driveway 30 times. It can be around your yard. It can be to the corner and back. It's more the action and the mindset. And also, you know, Mike, I think we should talk about why Nick is different. You know, when we honored Chris and John, they died in 2001. Nick, he just had the first anniversary of his passing, April 17th. So this is, I think it's really a path for healing for all of those that love him and that are involved. And this is also our first soldier that we've honored that was killed in a training incident. And that's opened my eyes to a totally different scenario of the differences between Gold Star families and surviving families in KIA versus training incidents. So it's really stirred up a lot of emotions for me and really relit that dedication to get the word out and increase awareness to these families.
Well, you both participate in incredibly important, but also both dangerous professions. And we thank you for that. So we want to support today for Tuesday. Samantha, tell us about how people get involved in Giving Tuesday Military and what's the ask this time around.
So you can find Giving Tuesday Military through our website, inspireupfoundation.org. There is a link to connect you to Giving Tuesday Military. You please visit Team Rubicon and register for Neighbors Helping Neighbors. It's just asking whatever you are able to do. And there's so many different skills that we bring. And we're focusing on acts of kindness and just being intentional and creating those connections, because in this time of social isolation and quarantine, here in New York, we're going on finishing week seven. So I think people are craving that.
I'm going to throw a big question at you, because you guys do so much and have inspired so much. So why? What is both of your why towards all that you do here?
I'll start with that. For me, it's just personal. I got to be honest with you. You know, like, it's
these guys go, you guys know the deal. Special operations guys do not ask for anything, and they won't. And it's like to give them an award or to give them any praise or recognize anything that they do, they don't show up to it, or they'll be dragging their feet. And they do a lot of amazing things, and it never gets talked about. And guys like us that are in that community that see these guys, you know, get on that 47 at nighttime, you know, don those goggles, not knowing what's going to happen every single time for the last 20 years, man, that falls on us. It falls on their brothers to make sure that their legacy carries on. That is our job, in my opinion, because, you know, they paid the ultimate sacrifice, and the least we can do is represent them and tell the world about what they did.
I think for me, I'm committed to creating the world that our children already believes to exist. With Giving Tuesday Military, you ask people what the most important part of their day is, and I challenge you that it's never material things. It's about a connection. It's about a meaningful conversation or holding the door open and maintaining eye contact. And so for that, you know, I've really been trying to change a moment, which can change a day, which can change a life. And seeing the stories that came out of Giving Tuesday Military, it wasn't only the recipients, it was the givers too that were changed. And I think to continue that and perpetuate that, and yes, I am going full steam ahead. I want everyone to be involved because I think that there's so much goodness that can come.
That's tremendous. We can't say enough what inspiration you guys are. But in thinking about inspiration, we're going to put Mike on the spot. He may not be too familiar with the podcast, but we always ask the guest to provide an inspirational quote or saying or something that sticks with you that you think about when you're going about your day. So, Mike, do you have something you can give us?
Yeah. I mean, as you guys being military officers, I would say a leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way.
Boom. I might add that to my repertoire.
Mike, that was nice.
That was good. That was good. I also love change the moment, change the day, change the life. So that might go on my Facebook profile somewhere with a little quote.
I think we're going to start a calendar. Let's start a calendar. Of course.
That's good. So I know that you talked about the Project 33 website, but if there's someone that's listening that just wants to reach out and, you know, whether it's thank you, whether it's more specifics on how to get involved in any of the projects we've discussed, or to get your advice in how to start their next social service project or give back type project, what's the best way for folks to reach you guys?
So again, on that website, there is an actual contact link that goes to all the board members, just in case if I'm deployed or whatever. So there's an email address on the contact list that'll get blasted out to all five board members, so their questions will get answered, and, you know, in a responsible amount of time, just in case, because the president of the board is, or the vice president of the board is also on active duty. So we like to make sure there's a lot of transparency and there's a lot of ways for everybody to get an answer and if something should come up. But yeah, they throw any question at us, we will absolutely answer it as fast as we receive it, for sure.
They can also look me up, Samantha Gamoka, 2019 AFI National Guard Spouse of the Year on Facebook. You know, I check my messages every day and about a variety of things. If they message me about Project 33, I'm on it. About Inspire Up or Giving Tuesday Military, I'm on it. So we're going to talk about all the things.
Fantastic. It's been awesome just hearing about all this. So thank you both for taking the time to chat with us.
Thank you guys. Appreciate it a lot.
And we leave you with a quote from Adlai Stevenson. Patriotism is not short, frenzied outbursts of emotion, but the tranquil and steady dedication of a lifetime.
Thanks for joining us on the Financial Operating Base podcast. We'd love to hear from you, so send us your questions or feedback to financialoperatingbase@gmail.com.